And we are back at the HR Tech Conference in Las Vegas. Mike, along with Heather, and we have a very special guest.
Yes, we do. Alexandra, introduce yourself. Inspiration at Work, the owner, Alexandra. Hello.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alexandra Levitt, and I am a workforce futurist.
Excellent. Alexandra, I absolutely love starting off my morning yesterday here in Las Vegas at HR Tech, listening to you with a packed room of folks that were listening and learning with you and talking about different aspects of work and culture and org development. But I'd love to hear really why you started your company. Tell me about your futurist expertise and a little bit of your background.
Sure. Well, I got started in this about 20 years ago as a result of a book I wrote called They Don't Teach Corporate in College. And at the time I wrote the book because it was a really tough period to be a 20-something. I'm in a very small generation called Gen X. There weren't a lot of us. We went into the work world as high-achieving students, not really knowing what we were doing. So I wrote the book so that other young people would avoid some of the agita that I experienced. And much to my pleasure and surprise, that first book did well, and I started getting asked to do speaking engagements all around the country for the younger group of professionals that was coming into the space, which were known as the millennials, and they were a huge generation, and they were demanding a lot at a young age, which they were entitled to, but it was difficult for many managers. So people started asking me, not only what can we do about the millennials now, but what kind of leaders are they going to be? What are they going to need to be in the future? So I had no choice but to start researching this and making what we call forecasts about the future of the millennial workforce. And so that's how I got into the world of strategic foresight. And the only way to know if you're a good futurist is to wait. So fortunately, having 20 years of experience, some of my forecasts have come to fruition at this point. So it has been a really fun ride. And in particular, the last couple years, we were talking about distributed work since the early aughts, and then the fact that there would be some kind of psychological or even sociological event that would lead people to be more embracing of distributed work models. And that is what happened with COVID-19. So it has been fun to see that evolve over time.
So for folks that aren't familiar maybe with distributed work, can you give us just your, you know, your take, your expertise? I know they would love to know.
So distributed work refers to sort of the outer side of how you govern a workforce, not the traditional 9-to-5, you're going to be in one place all the time working with the same people. And it refers to a more asynchronous way of working where you might be working from home sometimes or from the office sometimes. You might be working from what we call a third place, so a coffee shop or a WeWork. And in doing that, it arises, a whole bunch of things arise, right? So there are difficulties with IT infrastructure. There are difficulties with managing people's time and productivity. So it really is a whole other ball game that we're playing in now. And I think distributed work is here to stay, but the good news is the technology is available to help us do it really well.
Some that are like, oh, I only want to work remotely. Or even folks at the technology company I worked with, you know, they had children and a family, and that was their, you know, that was their agreement, and that was wonderful for them. Someone like me, I like going to the office.
Yeah,
I like seeing
too.
People and chatting. And this other wonderful young lady that we met after your session, she was chatting with me in the ladies' room, and she was like, we had so many great conversations with peers that happened, like, at the water fountain, in the ladies' room, like, you know, chatting, and it's like that's gone.
Yeah.
A lot of it because of the you know, the remote work environment and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
You have to be purposeful about your distributed work. I think a lot of people say, well, now that people can work from home all the time, we can give them the technology, they need to do their jobs anywhere. So we'll just let them. And you miss, especially with the younger professionals who don't have the context of how to work effectively in a traditional work environment, you're really kind of setting yourself up for failure by not infusing your work experience with that human personal connection and that individual rapport that people get just by running into each other.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So how do you work? So I know I would love to hear about, like, who are those sweet spot, you know, markets, sectors, or people that you work with, empower companies, teams? How does all that work with your expertise?
Yeah, so I work with all kinds of clients, governments, organizations, Fortune 500 companies, to try to ascertain what the next big potential disruption would be in the workforce. So we can be, in an ideal world, better prepared than we were with COVID, because COVID kind of caught us all by surprise and we had to retrofit our organizational structures into this distributed work model. It would be nice if we learned from that experience. So it's consulting based on that. And I also work with a lot of HR tech companies, many of which are here. And I serve as a thought leader on the future of work, so that maybe they don't have the internal expertise to talk about some of these issues in depth, but they want to be known to their customers as understanding what they need, understanding what the trends are, where we're going. And so they hire me to write, research, speak on their behalf, to marry my own brand as a futurist, as a workforce futurist, with their brands, what they're trying to do in the work world.
And I love that, because those companies are smart and ahead of things, where their technology, they have the best of the best building or coding or that product, but they're smart because they bring in someone that's a people person, a futurist, and weave all that in, which is a very potent, very good deliverable for their customers.
Yeah, because they don't have to talk about the product all the time.
No.
Like, they just talk about, this is the way that things are going to be. This is the way they should be. We talk about best practices all the time. And then it naturally leads to your solution.
Oh.
But we don't need to say that.
You're
a need, and then they'll ask, well, how can we do this? Well, actually, here's your technology right here.
Brilliant. So, and awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're based in
Chicago.
Awesome. And you work with companies all over the globe.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So any other things on your mind that you would love to share about, you know, your, what differentiates you perhaps from anyone else that might say that they're a futurist or guiding tech companies or companies in general?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. No one wanted to be a futurist. No one had even heard of it for the longest time. And then this future of work thing only took off a couple of years ago. And now there's lots of people saying that they are. And what I would advise is look for someone who has actual education in strategic foresight, because there is a method to the madness. You might have a gut instinct. You might have been in this space a while. But when you're really doing foresight projects, you want to do it in more of a systematic way. And then, again, look for people who have longevity, too. I mean, if someone just became a futurist last year, like, they're not going to have the breadth and depth that you're probably looking for. And don't be afraid to, like, deploy your futurist in all kinds of ways. I mean, I sometimes get pigeonholed in HR, for example, but really this is a C-suite issue when it comes to strategic planning and where is your organization going to go and how's it going to get there. Like, these are high-level issues that are not just HR specific.
What are you working on for 2025?
So for 2025, I'm finishing a grant with the National Institutes of Health that provided an unemployment solution to lots of individuals around the globe who have been laid off, and it helps with their levels of emotional distress and motivation. And we have tested that in a clinical trial, and we're going to be looking for partners to see how we can get that out there more. I will hopefully be writing another book. Don't know what that's about yet. And just hopefully doing more work with some great organizations trying to spread the word about best practices for managing this new world of work, which is an exciting place to be, I think.
Oh my gosh, it's a great place to be. And I'm so happy that you're here at HR Tech.
If you could just repeat the name of the book and where we can find it.
Okay, well, I can definitely repeat the name of the book that I mentioned and the one that's probably most relevant to this conversation. So my first book was called They Don't Teach Corporate in College. Can be found on Amazon and such. And the latest book is called Deep Talent, and it's about talent intelligence or matching available jobs to the individuals that need them. When you might not be able to necessarily make that connection based on a resume, AI gives you the insights to make those pairings.
And as far as the work you do and your speaking engagements, is there a website where people can follow you?
Yeah, alexandralevitt.com.
And spell Levitt.
L-E-V-I-T.
Any other thoughts or things that you'd like to convey to all of us?
Just be excited. Be optimistic. This is the best time of history to be a human worker. I truly believe that. And if you're willing to do a little upskilling to look at ways that AI can help you do your job better and more efficiently, then you're going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Any other conferences in 2024 or 2025 that you're thinking of being at?
I usually go to Unleash as well as HR Tech, and sometimes individual conferences as well for different clients.
There's People Analytics in New York. There's an Org Dev one in Atlanta. So we'll continue our conversation.
Right.
Alexandra, thank you so very much. A highlight of me being here is meeting you.
Thank you.
So we will
Likewise.
Continue the conversation.
All right. Sounds
thank
good.
Thank you.
Thank you.